I want to do something before we start. I'm really excited and want to give honor to God because this has just been an amazing time, an amazing 7 years that God's been building in the Lighthouse and in our lives and Pastor Dave and Stevie's lives. And we are honored to have the speakers in the house tonight. We have Pastor David Crown and Deborah Crown from the Mission Church in Vacaville. And if you're not familiar with that church, we've had Dana McCollum here so many times. He's a friend of the house. And Dana was pastors with David Crown there. And then we have Pastor David Crabtree from Sydney, Australia, Dayspring. And we're so excited to have them here. But Pastor Crown wrote this book, and it was released last year, right? Or this few months ago? Or why, we're only in the middle of this next year, aren't we? So anyways, I am really big into declarations. I've seen the fruit of it, and I know God changes lives. So when we start off for our conference this year, I want to read this on Jubilee declarations. And I was thinking I was going to read it over you, but you know what? We all have a book. So if you want to join me and read that in your book, and we're just going to stand up and declare it over ourselves and over our churches and over our region. So what page? 43. Oh, well, that's true. You haven't read the book yet. 43. So, hey, if you would just join me. So it says, we declare this is a year of jubilee. We declare this is a year of present opportunity. Doors wide open, treasure chests unlocked, fresh divine adventures awaiting us. We declare this is a year of unparalleled increase, increased revelation, increased community, increased prosperity, and increased God encounters. We declare this is a year of an equal redemption. What has been lost will be recovered. What has been stolen will be restored with interest. And what has been abandoned will be reclaimed. That's good, huh? We declare that in this year, our past failures, wasted opportunities, will become stepping stones into new levels, unexplored territories, and incomparable victories. Okay, wait a minute. You got to turn the page. Okay. We declare, and I love this. I love this. We declare we are letting go of what was, embracing what now is, and reaching with anticipation and expectancy of what will be. We now live in the acceptable year of the Lord, a lifetime of commanded blessing, His favor, and our jubilee. Amen? Amen. And with that, I want to introduce Pastor Dave Nelson.
What's it like to gather with people that you just love from around the world? Hey, thank you. You guys traveled from maybe down the street, and some of you on other sides of the globe. I appreciate, because it's not just a matter of coming to another conference. We call it a summit because it's really a relational gathering. It's a commitment to connect with one another, to hear God together, to partner with what God's doing around the globe. And I want to thank you. I mean, I look around and I just go, oh, heck with the meetings. Let's just pull out the couches and break out the coffee. It's just amazing. I thank you that we get to speak English tonight. Some of you speak 2, 3, 4 different languages, and some of us only speak one. And sometimes not all that well. Anyway, we're just blessed to be together. Would you do this for me? We just made declarations. And sometimes we begin to interpret what God's going to do. Or we have expectancy on what we want to see take place in the time that we're gathered. Would you lay that down? Jesus is in the house. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And there is a design and a plan. There is something He wants to do in us, corporately and individually. And would you just say, I surrender? God, Your plans are so much greater than mine. And even what I have in my mind, thinking this would be cool to see happen, I'd much rather see what You've got. Because God has untold, He knows something. You look back later and go, that was amazing. I can't believe He pulled that out for me for this time. And if we could partner together with that mindset to releasing the Holy Spirit to get to be in our midst, moving, speaking. Maybe not always speaking here, but maybe moving here. And that'll change your life. Later, you may get understanding here what happened inside here. Okay. Father's blessing. We're just opening up for... There's something about being dads, about being granddads and grandmothers, and you had to be... In order to speak, you had to be named David. Of course, Deborah starts with a D, so you're right in here with us, you know. And you had to have children, and then you had to have grandchildren. How many think it's funny? I go, I don't even think Patty designed this all. Three Davids, knowing it was about fathers, but I go, okay, God, what are you up to? I was sitting here during worship, and I'm going, what are you up to? There's something going to take place. So would you just extend hands? These two are amazing. This whole group right over here is amazing, but I'm just thinking, writing books, painting, supernatural painting, God just showing up on you, walking out prophetic words. Just what you... Is that okay? I'd like to go a little farther. The people, I'll just say this. Here's a good testimony. You look at their family. That's amazing. Number one, one, lovers of Jesus. Two, Jesus shows up in their ministry. Three, the people that go to their ministry, Jesus is actually showing up in their lives too. That's a good testimony. And with that... Thank you. Would you welcome David and Deborah Strong?
Thank you, David. Thank you, thank you. I am wired. Boy, it's a real joy to be here. You know, our granddaughter was here two weeks ago. A team from our church, from the mission in Vacaville. She's 19 years old. She's a prophesying machine and a real lover of Jesus. She was here, and I love what you said, David. This time is really a called of God time. And we know that because Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered, I'll be there. So it's not, we don't have, you know, it doesn't take a prophetic word to believe that this could be the moment for you and for me. It doesn't take a prophetic word to say, Jesus just might do something. When my granddaughter, Samantha, who's now, as I mentioned, 19, she was probably 3, maybe 4 years old. They lived in the same town with us, still do. And she was a papa's girl. She would come into the back of the church, and I'd be speaking, and she'd just yell out, ah, papa, papa, which, you know, I loved. Loved it. But she loved to be where I was. And she came over to my house one day, and I was not there. Deb was there upstairs, I think. And her mom brought her into the foyer of our house, opened the door, brought her into the foyer of the house, and she stuff. She's very, very sensitive. As I mentioned, she's a prophetic machine and just has seen all of her life since she was very, very young, 2 and 3 years old. She'd see angels and the other side too, be able to describe them and tell us what they were doing and where they were and what they were wearing and just amazing young, little girl. And so she had has a real sensitivity to atmospheres. And so she walked into the house and she stood in the foyer for a moment like she was sniffing the air. And she said, as if, what am I doing here? She said, there's no papa in the house. She knew I was not there. And so it was like, what are we doing here? If papa's not here, I don't need to be here. Yeah. We have determined that that's how we're going to live. If there's no papa in the house, if Jesus isn't here, if God's not going to show up, then by golly, I don't want to go. Because I'll tell you, church is boring without Jesus. It's okay. You can say yeah. You can agree with that. It's boring without Jesus. It is frightening without the Holy Spirit. Just is. Can you imagine having to sit in meetings like this? Listening to some old guy. You know, you guys make me feel really old. I guess because I am. I don't know. Don't feel that old most of the time. But this is a moment. This is a God moment, a God couple of days. And we're just really excited to be here. Very honored to be here. When my PA got the invitation, she shared it with me and Dano. As many of you know, Dano's just a dear friend, part of our team. And in fact, we were just with him day before yesterday, all day, and had a great time. And we have. If you ever want to hear a really good Dano story, I'll tell you one of these days. If we get a chance, I'll tell you a really good Dano story. It's one that he hates me to tell, so it's really a good one. No. maybe later. Something to look forward to. Yeah. So, where was I? Got the call, PA, yeah. And I turned to Dano and I said, is that someplace I should go? Because I trust Dano implicitly. I said, is that someplace I should go? He said, oh, yeah, they're great people. That would be a great place for you. So I said, okay, we'll go. Well, since then, a lot of things have been stirring in my heart for this time together. And I'm just really honored to be here, very, very honored to be among so many people who just are radical lovers of Jesus. Or am I in the wrong house? Let me know if I am, because I'll go next door. They're radical lovers of something over there. It's only good to find radical lovers, huh? Radical lovers. So I just, Jesus, I just want to say thanks for this time. Thank you that you promised to be with us and that you are here and that your Holy Spirit is here in such a fantastic way and wants to do so many things in our lives, that this is our moment. This is our transformational time. This is a time this will change our lives, not because of what I say or what because the worship team sings with so beautifully, but because you're here. And we just thank you. Thank you. You're so radically good. And we bless your name. So, here we go. We do have some stuff over there that we use to get us into the nations. We travel extensively. I travel over 100,000 miles a year. We have schools in the Philippines and schools in Fiji, schools of supernatural, much like your school here. And we are able to do that by the resources that we provide people that want them. So we just want to let you know they're over there and you can take advantage of those. I just want to point out a couple of things. This comes out of the book that you have there, Declarations That Empower Us. That book was inspired by really this message, When God Says Enough. How many of you have situations in your life you would love for God to just stand up and say, that's enough? Well, he did 2,000 years ago. At the cross. And all we have to do is come into agreement with his enough and say, that's enough. And let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Yeah? So this is all about that, and there are three declarations that are there that are in your book, and this kind of inspired that book. I was just in the Philippines a week ago, and I went into this little church in the middle of Bacolod City, which is a city of about 1 million people. This little church, I'd never been there before, and I walk in, and on this screen, much like what you have here, that was the most modern thing in the whole church. You know, even the chairs were barely sittable. And but yet they were there, and on the screen were the declarations out of this book. And they were declaring these declarations in the Philippines. So it's pretty exciting to have that. And so this is when God says enough. Who would like that? Anybody like that? Well, first hand up. I don't. First hand up. You sit ready to sit in the front seat too. It's amazing. I don't spit, so that's a good thing. I will need some water though. This is a book I wrote a couple years ago that really is my life message, the power of your life message. Oh, thanks, man. Thank you, David. The power of your life message, which is really a book about identity. You know, who do you think you are? It's really important to know that. But it's you know, everybody has a life message, but not everybody understands that and takes full advantage of it and maximizes it so that they have the greatest level of influence in the world. And oftentimes people don't really, you know, if you were alive at your funeral, you would hear what your life message was. Yeah? But oftentimes people don't know it. So this is really a book. The first half of the book is just the importance of understanding your life message. The second half of the book is our journey in discovering our church life message and our personal life message. One of my favorite chapters in the book, and it kind of goes along with a little bit of what I want to talk about over these next couple of days, is called Conservative Christianity, an Oxymoron. What's so conservative about Christianity? It's one of my favorite chapters. And then there's another one here I want to read a little bit out of, if I can find it. It's somewhere in here. Now let's go back to Conservative Christianity. 181, I think, is one I wanted. Here we go. What's conservative about the love of God, the cross, grace, mercy? How can we speak conservatively about the incarnation, the willingness of Jesus to lay aside his position as God and become man, the timeless, boundless one limiting himself to time and space? All of these realities are radical, over-the-top, held back nothing expressions of a lavish and generous God. What's so conservative about Jesus? Nothing. What are we holding back? I just read just a little bit more of this. I have one question, one declaration written in the inside a cover of my Bible. The question is one that the Holy Spirit asked me on November 8th, 2001. The declaration was my response one day later. The question came at a time I was fairly confident that I was sold out on my pursuit of God's presence and purpose. We had gone through an 3.8 million building program without borrowing any money. I spent my 50th birthday washing the feet of a persecuted apostolic leader in China. We were committed to going after the manifest presence of God no matter what the cost. And had already paid a large part of that cost. I really believed that I had pushed all my chips to the middle of the table. Then came the question I knew was from the Holy Spirit. What are you holding in reserve? The question devastated me. Still does to this day. Could it be possible that there were things I was holding in reserve just in case? Had I hedged my bets, giving myself an out if things didn't work out? Had I made a conservative response to the call of God for intimacy with him? The next 12 hours were painful ones of letting the Holy Spirit search my heart and reveal my motives. I won't give you a list of the things that the question and the subsequent searching reveal, but I will tell you that I awoke the next morning with a passionate declaration that is written next to that question in my Bible. I don't want to die in a foxhole. I later had a vision that I may share tomorrow, of landing on the shore of heaven in a boat and a similar exclamation coming out of my mouth. I don't want to go to heaven in a boat. I was meant to walk on water. Who would like this book? I'm going to let you. Father, pray blessings over this man, that his life message will radically transform the world around him, that his influence will increase radically and in such a manner that it will surprise the people around him. Lord, I pray for influence with leaders, influence with people around him, influence in his life that will, when he steps into heaven, he will be able to say, I walked on water. So, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You got to give that to somebody. And I will give you another copy. All right? Oh, man, I'm having fun already. Tonight, I'm really not going to try to teach. We're just going to take a little bit of time. I know a lot of you just traveled from a long ways. I heard somebody say they traveled 7 hours today in a car. Yeah? Yeah. Those are the ones that are asleep in their own. So we're just going to take a little bit of time, but maybe share a little bit of our story. And I think over in the next couple of sessions, we'll do a little bit more teaching and lay out some things. But I just want to lay out a couple of thoughts with you tonight that are kind of the foundational things that the basis for everything we're going to talk about in the next little bit. But before we do that, I want Deb to come on up. And this is my lovely bride of 42 years.
Hello, 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 hello. Am I there? Yeah. Yeah, I was married when I was 5.
We have known each other since I was 9.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. We were childhood playmates. I was such a tomboy, and so we just did all the boy stuff together, so it was really fun to fall in love with your best friend, so yay. So 3 children later and 8 grandchildren and 1 on the way, so number 9's coming up here pretty soon. So anyway, it's really great to be here and to be part of this gathering. We really don't travel much in the States. Typically, we're in another country. We're either home or in another country. So I feel right at home because all the countries are here. So
that's great.
Brilliant. So that worked. Anyway, as I was thinking and praying about this gathering over the last few weeks, most of the times when I am going to be painting at an event, mostly I paint at home in my studio or in the gallery in Hawaii, but when I'm going to be doing an event, I just start asking the Holy Spirit, what's on your heart for them? And this is usually weeks and sometimes even months out. And what was interesting is the set that the worship team sang tonight was my message. The painting is the lily out of Matthew 6. And it says, have you considered the lily? And whenever God asks you to think about something, it's really important thing to think about. He said, have you considered the lily? How I take care of it, how I've clothed it, how it doesn't spin or toil. And the love of God is so personal to each person here. He loves you each differently. He doesn't love you the same. If he loved you the same, his love would not be perfect. Because each of us need to be loved individually and uniquely. So does that mess with you just a little? Think about if you are parents, and you were a child, so that works too. If your parents loved you or you've loved your children exactly the same, did that work very well? Because you're not the same person. And I just want you to know the very foundation of growing in the kingdom is the knowledge of the love of God. until you really wrestle and apprehend that God loves me, He loves me perfectly, He loves me uniquely, He is for me, He is not against me, and He is altogether good and lovely, you will go through life with reality being slightly skewed. Because everything must be viewed through the lens of God's goodness for you and His absolute love for you. And then everything else is growing in the kingdom, learning how to, you know, get along. Get along. You know what I mean? Doing adventures for God and with Him and supernatural. But if all of that is not on the basis and the foundation of God's goodness and that He loves you. And I'll just take 1 minute.
Take all the time you want.
Man. He's such a wise man.
I'm taking you home with me.
Let me just throw out this one. Sometimes people see speakers, especially since you probably don't know Dave and I. Sometimes we can be viewed as, oh my gosh, they just, you know, life's a breeze, everything's good, easy peasy, you know, they got a big church, they go all over the world, you know. What could they possibly, you know, have in common with the things I worry about? Well, 5 years ago in June, our 31-year-old daughter suddenly died in my arms of a massive blood clot to her heart. So in a moment, I lost my very best friend and my only daughter. Rushed her to the hospital. They worked valiantly on her for probably at least an hour with no response. And they brought me in to that room where they had been working on her. So it was just, you know, like in a movie, you know what I mean? Stuff everywhere. And they said, she's gone. And I remember the foundation of my being was about to say something. I was about to say something and make a declaration, and I really didn't know what was going to come out of my heart. And I laid on my daughter's body and I held her in my arms, and what came out was, God, you are so good to me. Because I had been wrestling for years with the reality of the goodness of God. Was it personal? Was it for me? Was He for me? Was it absolutely 100% reality of the goodness of God? In the moment of my greatest loss, there wasn't a moment of hesitation of a declaration that I know you're good. I don't know how I'm going to live through this. I know I'm not going to live mad, and I'm not going to live sad, and I'm not going to live as a person that is disappointed in God. But how I do that is going to be an adventure. But the reality, I just want you to know, the reality of consider the lily is really burning in my heart for each one of you as we go through this adventure this week. So there you go. It's great to be here.
She's quite a woman. I think we're just going to kind of stay in that vein a little bit here just for the next few minutes and just pray with you guys. I want to make a couple statements, and we'll kind of track these over the next couple days. God is unreasonable. God is unreasonable. God is unreasonable. And He makes unreasonable invitations to us and requires an unreasonable response to His invitation so that He can bring about an unreasonable conclusion. God is unreasonable. And he extends unreasonable invitations. And it requires of us unreasonable responses so that God can bring about unreasonable conclusions. All you have to do is look at this little tiny hidden verse in the Bible. You might want to write it down because you probably, you know, you just probably never read it. It's called John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? Good, it's good to know you know the word. That he gave his only begotten son. Now that's an unreasonable response from God. That's an unreasonable thing. He is an unreasonable lover of man. And his love is absolutely unreasonable. There is no reason for that. If you were looking at a group of people that needed to be saved, would you have chosen that way to save them? He was God. Now remember, he's God. Do you get that? So he has options? Right? I mean, he could have just spoken something into existence to make it happen. He had options that you and I don't have. And yet he chose an unreasonable way to demonstrate his love to us. That's a love that goes beyond anything you can imagine. He's unreasonable in his kindness. He's unreasonable in his goodness. Like Deb just demonstrated, you don't really understand the goodness of God just when everything is really good. And you go, oh man, God is good. Things worked out wonderfully that time. But when you can bend over your daughter's body and put your arm around her and say, God, you are good to me, then you know. You have come to a radical understanding of the unreasonable nature of God's goodness. He is unreasonable. And it's really important that we get that. Because if you don't get that, what we will do is try to reduce his unreasonable request down to something that's reasonable for us so that we can then make a reasonable response. Yeah? So I want to talk just a little bit more about the unreasonableness of God and look at what God, you know, how God does this. It's really amazing how unreasonable he is. I was writing one day. By the way, how many of you have ever had the desire to write a book? Anybody? Yeah. How many of you sat down and actually tried it? Not as many. That's what I thought. When I was a kid, I heard somebody say, "If you want to impact the generation after you're gone, you have to write." That stuck with me. So most of my early years, I wanted to write, but I had this thing that was ingrained in me from a couple of experiences I had in grade school, actually, that I thought I was not creative. So I thought, I can't write a book. Oh, I want to have influence beyond my lifetime. Yeah, but I can't write. I don't know how to write. I don't know how to. But that desire continued to grow in my life. And finally, I had a prophetic word over my life that I would write books. Or no, actually, the books would come out of our church. This was about 10 years ago. Nothing had come out of the church at that point. And I thought, I want to be that guy. How many of you felt that? You're a word, prophetic word. I'll take that one. You know, I wanted to be one of those guys. But then this thing about creativity looked, I can't write. One day I sat down, I thought, who's going to know if it's not good? It'll stay on my computer. Nobody will know. It's okay. I just need to write this. So I just sat down and I wrote my first book, which was the first book published at the church. It's over there if you want one. Decisions That Define Us. The Decisions That Define Us have gone around the world. You Google it and you'll find 14 or so pages of ministries that are using it. but I'm not creative. I don't know how to write. So I just encourage you. Sometimes God gives an invitation, and you say, well, it just can't be done. Because it's unreasonable, right? And He's so good, He is so unreasonable, He'll ask you to do what you can't do. Are you sleeping on me? He will ask you to do what you cannot do. And that's what makes it so difficult at times, because it's so unreasonable. He is unreasonable. So anyway, I was writing one day. I was thinking about how good God is and His love for us. And I started writing down this thing. I felt like I was hearing the Lord say, I love you when. I love you when. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I'll start writing it down. I just started writing some things. Let's see if I can find it here real quickly. I love you when. I can get my iPad to work. There you go. Okay, here we go. I love you when. A letter from God. So you ready for this? This will. This may affect your theology. So is that okay? Okay. I love you when. Just started writing this down, and I got absolutely blasted in the Holy Ghost while I was writing it, because I realized, boy, He loves me. He really loves me. So here it goes. I love you always. I love you when you're happy. I love you when you're sad. I love you when you're laughing. I love you when you're crying. I love you when you win. I love you when you lose. I love you when you're up, and I love you when you're down. I love you when you're good. I love you when you're bad. I love you when you're generous. I love you when you're stingy. I love you when you're right. And I love you when you're wrong. I love you when you're innocent, and I love you when you're guilty. Are you believing this? This is how radical He is. I love you when you succeed, and I love you when you fail. I love you when you pray. And I love you when you don't. How many of you grew up in church? Here's how we get to be spiritual. Here's how God's love is impacting our lives. Read the Word more and pray more. Right? I love the Word. And I love to pray, because I love to communicate with my friend and my father. But man, that religious stuff can wear you out. Where was I? I love you when you obey, and I love you when you don't. I love you when you try, and I love you when you don't. I love you when you care, and I love you when you don't. I love you when you're kind, gentle, and self-controlled. I love you when you're angry, unkind, and out of control. Are you believing this? Wow. You guys are something. I love you in the springtime, summer, winter, and fall. I love you in the sunshine. I love you in the rain. And I love you where you've been. I love you where you are. And I love you where you're going. I loved you before you were born. I love you now. And I will love you forever. I will love you always. And always means always. God. It's actually going to be a children's book. So I believe if children will learn this, they will live with such a confidence that they will so not want to disappoint God, because they will be radically consumed by the amazing love of God. A couple years ago, I was awakened. I had a dream, woke up with it, and it was like a video thing. I was watching it, like a video, and it's really appropriate that I talk about this, because it was David and Goliath. So just throw another David in there for you. And I was watching that moment when the two armies had lined up on either side of the valley. And as you know the story, for 40 days, the Philistines lined up on one side of the valley, the armies of Israel lined up on the other side of the valley. And they would do that twice a day. So twice a day they would shine their armor, they would sharpen their spears, they would go out onto the battlefield, and there was a valley between them. And Goliath would come out of the Philistine army, and he would stand there, and he would begin to berate the army of Israel and berate the God of Israel. And it would frighten these soldiers, these warriors, so badly that they would turn and run and go back to the tents. And then they'd come out that night, shine their armor again, ready to go. We're going to defeat this enemy. We're going to go out there. And then it even says that they would have their battle cry. They would yell. How many of you have ever seen the All Blacks? Huh? You know their mecca, their dance? Yeah, yeah? Pretty cool, huh? Well, that's what Israel did. They'd get out there and they would have their battle cry. I don't know if they'd yell, Jehovah! I don't know. They did something like that. And then they would yell, and then Goliath would step out, and they would run again. 40 days. This was the 79th time. What I was watching was the 79th time this had happened. 40 days, twice a day, you know, do your math. And I'm watching this, and they're lined up on either side. Goliath has just stepped out. And it's that moment when everything kind of went silent. And everybody knew what was going to happen one more time. But on this day, say it with me, on this day. On this day, everything was going to shift. Everything was going to shift on this day. Because as I was watching, David stepped out of the crowd. And I knew what was going to happen. I woke up. But the Lord asked me 4 questions. And I just want to talk really about one of those for just a few more minutes. First question was, who will step out of the crowd? God's looking for somebody to step out of the crowd. And your crowd could be absolutely anything. We think we've gone out of the box. And I know many of you guys are in extreme sports. And that's out of the box for me. But it's your new box. It's your new crowd. Who will step out of the crowd and be that one person like Wilberforce in England who stepped out when everybody said slavery's okay and he said, no, it's not? Who will step out of the crowd? I won't go any farther than that, but that was the first question that the Holy Spirit asked me. The second question is the one that we're dealing with tonight, and that is, who will believe I am who I say I am? Those who know their God will do valiant deeds. Who will believe I am who I say I am? And as what Deb was saying earlier, is it's just the foundation of everything that we believe who He is. And that we believe He loves us in a way that is so radically different than the kind of love we see around us so much of the time. When we say we have an unconditional love, we mean it's unconditional until. Right? But when God says He has an unconditional love, He loves us when we're good and He loves us when we're bad. It doesn't mean there aren't consequences to our bad. It just means He still loves us. Right? He radically, radically loves us. There is nothing conservative about the love of God. It is beyond what we can comprehend. Even my little writing does not say it at all, that there is not a moment in your life. There's not a moment in your life that God does not love you. At your worst, He is at His best. And His love will mean more to you when you fail Him than when you succeed. I was walking down the street one day. I was thinking, I had just blown a really blown it big time with somebody. And I was feeling really rotten. Walking down the street, and I said, God, you must be just, how do you even love me? You must be so disappointed in me. So disillusioned. Here I am, your man of power for the hour, your pastor, your preacher, and I just ripped that person apart and didn't love him at all. And I heard a laugh. And he said, Dave, I am so proud of you, and I love you so much. We're going to fix that. But I love you. When was the last time you heard God tell you that he loves you? I'm not talking about did you read it somewhere? Did somebody say to you, you know, you really need to know God loves you? But in your own time, you heard him say to you, I really love you. And I'll tell you this again, that'll mean more in your down times than it will in your up times. It will rock your world when you have failed the most. He will yell the loudest, I love you. Nobody in this room's ever failed, though, huh? So here's what I want you to do. I told you I was going to be short. Why don't you close your eyes? Turn your phones off. I just heard one go off. Because your phone's not going to tell you. I want you to just think for a moment. Just allow yourself. Oh, by the way, those of you who are C personalities, you needed to know what the other two questions are before you won't be able to sleep tonight. So I'll tell you tomorrow. But the biggest one is who will believe I am who I say I am? And I think one of the things that God is really trying to say to us in this opening session is that I want you to know I love you. And that's such a cliche to many of us who've been in the church a long time. Well, of course God loves us. But we need to hear it from him. So close your eyes. I was just going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something for us tonight. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask anyone who has not heard that for a long time and really needs to hear it. I mean, you just need to hear it for whatever reason. It may not be because you failed. It may be just because you just need it. You need to hear it. I'm going to have you stand, and then I just want to impart the love of the Father over you this evening. So we can start, we're just all in this love fest together with Jesus. Is that all right with you guys? We okay? All right, so here we go. So Holy Spirit, your word says that you shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. That you are the one that distributes it so that we know that we are loved. And so I ask that in these next few moments, you would impart a fresh word into each of these hearts that are here today. A fresh word of your love, of your compassion, your kindness, and your goodness. That they would even go to sleep tonight, living out from a new context. Not a context of having to prove themselves to you so that you could love them more. Because there's nothing, God. We've come to realize that there's nothing we can do to make you love us more, and there's nothing we can do that will make you love us less. So I just pray over this group that there would be downloads even as they sleep tonight. I ask for angels to come and visit the rooms tonight and whisper in their ears how much you love them. And I ask this because you said you'd do it, because you are an unreasonable God. And you unreasonably love us, and you want us to know that. That's why you sent Jesus, so we would know how radically you love us. So if you're, I'm serious, some of you just would love to hear it again. You know, you'd love to hear Jesus say, I love you. But I want those of you that, just right now, it just so resonates in your heart, you have to hear. Would you stand up? You just have to hear God say, I love you. Holy Spirit say, I love you. Okay, there's not that many. I think we can all move down in here. Maybe we can move these tables back a little bit. I want Deb and I to come, and Dave, won't you come? And I just want you to open your hands up, and we're just simply going to believe. It is time for the body of Christ to move from expectation to anticipation. Expectation is simply hope, and hope is a wonderful thing. In fact, I'm writing a book on hope. But it's part of the picture. Expectation is embracing hope, and it helps set our focus. When you expect something in the mail, what do? You're expecting it. You're waiting for it. Those ladies who get pregnant, they are expecting something. So they have an expectation that something's going to happen. But we have to move from expecting to anticipation, because anticipation has faith attached to it. That's what faith is. It's anticipating. Faith always requires a response. So when we move from expectation to anticipation, we move from simply expecting something and hoping for it to taking an action to move so that we can receive it. You've done that just now. You've moved from expectation to anticipation. So if you just stayed there, you go, this I got. I expect God. You know? It's the difference between the foolish and the wise virgins. Yeah. The foolish virgins expected the bridegroom to come. So they showed up. But they didn't plan. They didn't move to anticipation. And the others anticipated there might be a waiting time. And they prepared for it. They moved with anticipation. You've done that. So we just want to touch your hands and expect God to do something because you have come with anticipation.
Yeah. One of the things that I kept hearing in my spirit about the lily, the Father was speaking His love, and He says, but you can't hear it because you're worried. Worry is one of the main elements that plugs our ears. It filters out the love of God. And so it says in the scripture, are you worried about this? Are you worried about that? And it says, what have you ever gained by worry? So if that applies to you that are up here or sitting down, if worry has blocked your ears from what your heart is longing to hear, let's just quickly lay our hands over our ears, okay? And say, I think just make a confession. Father, I'm sorry that I've chosen worry. I know I don't gain anything by worry, and I release that right now so I can hear the love coming from you. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Give His ears, Lord, to hear your whispers. To really hear what you're saying and to believe it. Give us hearts to believe. Put your hands on your heart. God, as we hear your whispers, because we've come in faith, we've come with hope and we've come with faith, and we just know you're going to speak to us, so give us hearts to believe, to really believe that you're saying it and that you really mean it. Did you really mean it? And I just break off all the whispers of people in your life, that there have been times when people have said things, sometimes not meaning to be mean, not meaning to be nasty or whatever, or there may have been some that have just said things into your life that have made you feel less than what God sees you to be. How could he love someone like you? Well, that's what he does. But tomorrow we'll talk about more about who you are. He radically loves you. So I pray that you will have a heart to believe that what he is saying, that it's one, that it's him speaking, and two, that he means it. He absolutely means it, and he'll never pull it back. There will never be a day he'll walk into your room and say, I don't love you anymore. There will never be a day that he will reject you. Yes, there are consequences to sin. But those of us on this side of the cross, our sin's been taken care of. He loves us, and he wants to prove it to us. He did it at the cross, and now he wants to whisper it into our hearts. So we're just going to come lay hands on you right now. Just extend your hands out. And we're just going to pray. And those of you who are back in the seats, you can take this too. You can take it too. Just receive it as you sit there.